Okay, today we are discussing, after all the elections and other wonderful things that occurred, we're going to discuss, do we believe in democracy? What kind of government do we believe in? Do we believe in anarchy, monarchy, I don't know, democracy, a republic? Is that already? Thanks for listening. And oligarchy, theocracy. Anybody else? Anyway, so what do we believe in all these various things? Now, anybody who's outside of the sugya and didn't learn the Makayas inside would say, Rabbi Singer, what a waste of time. We all know that we believe in a melech. We believe in Davra melech and Shlomo melech. We kings all the generations. Wait for melech HaMashiach. And waiting for Malchus, kingship, monarchy. So what in the world are we giving a shir about? That's a great question. But now that we learn the Makiris, when the source is inside, we will see. It's not the CIA, is it? We'll see that it's really not so simple. We're going to start off with the Psukim. Says in Exhibit 1, do we have packets?
Yes.
Thank you to Rabbi Meir Porter for his mysterious nefesh and making these. We spent a lot of time collating these papers, and after we spent, Adahula knows how long it took, but I actually did it. But whatever, with the help of Rabbi Porter, found that the other printer actually collates by itself. So it was a shtick of waste of time, but Baruch Hashem, our mysterious nefesh, got these packets here. So page one, Yossi, you ready? Page one. Kisavai el haaretz, in the bracketed areas. Kisavai el haaretz, when you come to the land, that Hashem, your God, will give to you, and you inherit, and you settle in it. And you say, I want a king, put a king on me. Like all the goyim that are around me. You should surely make yourself a king, that Hashem chooses. So, seemingly, there's a mitzvah here to have a king. You should surely put yourself a king. However, the way that the Torah, the way the Psukim are worded, are very strange. We have some very important kashas to deal with in these Psukim, which we'll see, the Mefarshim, both in Chazal and the Rishonim and the Achronim, and deal with a couple of these questions. Number one. Seemingly, the way the Pasuk says it is, when you go into the land, and you settle it, and you give it out, you know, say, I want a king for myself, like the rest of the goyim, then put a king on. But it seems to be that a hakdama, a prelude, something, to the mitzvah, a condition of the mitzvah is they have to ask for it. It doesn't say the mitzvah is, Sein tasa melech ha-melech. It says, when you ask for it, ve'omert, and you'll say, Yasim alei melech, then give me a king. I don't know, but you don't find psukim like this in other mitzvahs. It doesn't say, when you wake up in the morning, you say, please put tefillin on me. And Hashem says, okay, now go put on tefillin. It doesn't say that. It says, put on tefillin. Put on tzitzis. B'shem HaShabbos. All of a sudden, it says, when you settle down, you ask for a king, don't then make yourself a king. Very odd. If it's tam, a direct mitzvah, it should say, go ahead and do the mitzvah. Question number two. And if you're going to say a part of the mitzvah is to ask for the king, which some Rishonim do say, that part of the mitzvah is that mechuyev, the mitzvah, the pasuk is telling us, we're mechuyev to ask for the king. So the wording of the pasuk is very strange. If the pasuk is telling us, you should ask, amarta, you should say, make a king for me, like all the goyim that are around me. But that's the way to ask for the king. Even if you're going to say the mitzvah is to ask for the king, Hashem says, how should you ask for the king? Ask for the king so you could be like all the goyim that are around you. Why should I ask the king that way? If I should ask for a king, ask for a king. But if that's the mitzvah to ask for the king in this way, you're mechuyev to go, you have to go to Sanhedrin, please bring me a king so I could be like the rest of the goyim that are around me. Very strange mitzvah. We're not supposed to be like the goyim. Whatever. Okay, question number three is, if it is a mitzvah to ask for a king, so we're going to see soon the story of, everybody may have seen it in Exhibit 3, that some might have seen already, that Shmuel HaNavi, in times of Shmuel HaNavi, they asked for a king. And Shmuel was not so happy about it. And Hashem was also not so happy about it. So if it was a mitzvah for them to ask for a king, when Shmuel gave them such a hard time, they could have responded, you know what? It's a mitzvah in the Torah. If for example, someone put on tefillin, and a Rashid came to start screaming, what in the world are you, what kind of nerve do you have to put on tefillin? You say, it's a mitzvah, I'm supposed to put on tefillin. So here Shmuel and Navi get so upset at them, they ask for a king. They could have responded very gently, like, Mechil's Kvaitcha, it's a mitzvah, make a king. But you don't see they responded there. Why didn't they answer him back? We're just doing what the Torah tells us. Very simple question. And question number four is, if it is a mitzvah to appoint a king, why did they wait all the way until the end of Shmuel HaNavi? There are many years after Yerusha V'Yeshiva that they could have asked for a king. Hundreds of years. So why all of a sudden, mitamo, they asked Shmuel HaNavi for a king? They could have asked for a king many times before that. Why did they wait all the way until then? These are four of the questions we're going to deal with. And Be'ez Hashem, we'll deal with all of them, hopefully in a very good way. Now, the Rishonim Acharonim deal with all these questions. The most thorough, in my opinion, most thorough investigation into these questions was done by the Abarbanel. And I on purpose did not put it in here because otherwise I wouldn't have that much to say. So I didn't put it in the Abarbanel. I kept it in my back pocket. So, by accident. So we'll discuss that, how he deals with all these questions. And you'll see that in his Mahalach, it all becomes very clear how all these things operate. So first of all, as we're discussing, it's a mitzvah or not, we'll say that this is really a machlekes in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Exhibit 2. It says like this. I put the brackets in the wrong place. I'm sorry. No, the first bracket is correct. V'chein, Hay Rabbi Yehuda Eimer. Rabbi Yehuda says, pretty explicit in plain English, as people say, Gimel mitzvahs nistavu Yisrael b'knisoson la'aretz. There are three mitzvahs the Jewish people are required to do when they enter into Eretz Yisrael. Number one, lahamid la'melech, to make a king. Number two, lahachris zarish al-amalek, to cut off the seed of Amalek. And number three, levnais ha'beis ha'bechira, to build the Beis HaMikdash. So pretty clear, at least, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is a mitzvah, say, de'eraisa, to appoint the king when they come into Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Noirai is not so impressed. He says, no. Lo'nem parasha, zoi ela kineget teiru mosa. The reason why this whole parasha, make a king, was said was only because of their complaints and their grumblings. Like it says, v'amarta asimalei melech. Rabbi Noirai clearly, l'cheira, learns the pasuk, as the pasuk is saying, if you say to make yourself a king, this is the way to do it. But not that it's a mitzvah to have yourself a king. So kinir, these two tzadim, which we're going to see also expressed in the Rishonim Le'achreinim, is really a machlekes in the Gemara. Kinir, Rabbi Yehuda, you'll see the Barbanel holds Rabbi Yehuda, also doesn't hold it's a mitzvah. If we get there, we'll get there. But at least in the simple reading of the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's a mitzvah to appoint a king when you come into Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Noirai says, no, there's no such mitzvah. And the whole reason why it says the parish of was because we wanted one. But if we didn't want one, there never would have been a mitzvah to begin with to make a king. Kinira amachlaikus in the Gemara.
Does the Torah speak out things before it actually happens? Can we be held chayiv that we're going to say, even though we didn't say that at that time yet? It says, kechol goyim, do we say?
Right.
Hashem says, you're going to say this.
Oh.
Preemptive, give you a mitzvah in order for you to.
You're saying maybe Shad the Pasuk is Hashem saying you are going to say this, like Yifas Toyer, sort of.
Yeah.
You're gonna, okay. Since you're going to do, you know, no different Torah, El Knegre Tzara. I know you're going to say this, so now I'll give you a mitzvah how to do it. So maybe that's one of the Malachim. We'll see if that is true and accurate in as we go forward. That's a very good idea, and it could be very well that the Rishonim and Racharim say this. Exhibit? No, I'm skipping. In my notes, let's skip to 5 through 7. Okay, fine. Page 5. The Rambam, just to get clear, the Psak Halacha, the Rambam in Exhibit 5 says, in Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Gimel, in the bracketed area, this is Sefer HaMitzvahs, says the Heilige Rambam, Hu Shetzivanu Limnais Aleinu Melech. That is a mitzvah that we should appoint a king. Yekabetz Kol Umaseinu V'Anigenu, he'll gather together our whole nation, he will guide us. He will lead us. For Amri is Bach, and that's what the Torah says. Suim Tosim Alecha Melech. You should surely put yourself a king. For Kadam Lanu Elishayim Sifri, and also the Rambam that brings the Sifri. three mitzvahs tavi yisrael b'knis la'aretz, like we read in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So now, the Rambam passing halacha l'maisa that it is a mitzvah. You'll see on page 6 and 7, echoing that original svar, halacha of the Rambam, which is reading inside, because now this is not just sefer mitzvahs, this is the Rambam in his Yad HaChazaka. He quotes Reb Yehuda, Sholesh mit on page 6, Sholesh mitzvah nitzav yisrael b'knis la'aretz in the aretz. Three mitzvahs they had when they went into Eretz Yisrael. Learn Nisla Melech to appoint them a king. Shnema Tosim, Tosim Alecha Melech. You should put upon yourself a king. So therefore you see, at least according to the Rambam, is that there's a mitzvah that say dear Reis to appoint yourself a king. And the mitzvah is Tosim Tosim Alecha Melech. But the Rambam is totally ignores and disregards the first part of that pasuk, which was Valmarta, which is the pasuk Valmarta Simalei Melech. The Rambam doesn't seem to be good, whatever, doesn't deal with that issue, but rather just brings the second pasuk Soim Tasa Melech HaMelech. So maybe there's a reason why the Rambam left out that first part of the pasuk, which we'll dwell in as we continue. On exhibit 8. So at least to go back to the original question, according to the Rambam, it seems there is a mitzvah that the ideal form of government is a monarchy, to have a king be in charge. Now, we also talked about separation of powers, and there's another checks and balances. Checks and balances. And seeing for the union, we're not going to talk about that because we're not going to get around to it. Sorry. If anybody wants to leave, it's a Mecca Chtois. But we're not going to talk about that part. But the monarchy, according to this, is very accurate. Now, the Ramban here says a very interesting chiddush. The Ramban in Exhibit 8 says that a part of the mitzvah actually is going to ask for the king. The Rambam says the mitzvah is to make a king. But the Rambam doesn't mention the fact there's a mitzvah to actually ask for the king. But you see in the Ramban learns the first, those two psukim that we mentioned before, the Ramban learns that the first part of the pasuk is actually a chelik of the mitzvah. And you'll see it inside. On page 8, the Ramban says, "So Martisim Alei Melech, Adas Rabbi Seinu, Kovetoymar Emarisim Alei Melech." What it means is not Veil Marta. Should you say you want a king, the Ramban says, "No, that's not what it means." It means Toymar. You should say that you want a king. Fehi mitzah say, it's a mitzah say. Shechayev Veisan. There's we are required after inheriting the land, like I think it's other rayas, and he says here. The mitzvah is to come to Kayanim and the Levim and the Shefet, and the leader that is during that generation, and tell them it's our rotzayin, it's our desire that we should put upon ourselves a melech. That is a mitzvah. It's not just if you say you want it, but the mitzvah is gufa to go to the people in charge of that generation and say, we want to have a king. That is the mitzvah. Now you might ask, like the first question we mentioned, why does it say, if the Ramban learns that it's a mitzvah to ask, so why does it say, Kechol Agreim HaShev Tzvi Vaisai? The mitzvah is to say, you, Mr. Shevet, Rabbi Shevet, we want a king upon ourselves to be like the rest of the Goyim. Why should that be the mitzvah to ask in such a funny way? So Ramban says, it's a little hard to read into the pasuk to understand it, but the Ramban really says, we're not going to read it all inside because we have limited time, but the Ramban says, it's a remez, it's a hint to what's going to be in the future. That the mitzvah is not to ask that way, the mitzvah is really just to ask for a king. But since the Torah knows that is the way we're going to ask in the future, that's the wording that it used in the Torah already now. Which is a hard concept to fully understand and grasp. But the Ramban would agree, the mitzvah is not to say, Asimilei Melech kechol hagoyim. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, Asimilei Melech, give for me a king. This that the pasuk continues and says, like all the goyim around me, that's just because the Torah knows eventually that's how they're going to ask, and that's how worded it in the beginning. But not that that is in of itself a chelik of the mitzvah. So the Ramban concurs with the ruling of the Rambam that it is a mitzvah d'oraisa to have a king, but the Ramban adds that not only is it a mitzvah to have the king, but it's also to ask for the king also, not just merely to appoint one, but to ask for one.
So why by Pesachar does it mention what's going to happen, just like here?
Baifas Toyer.
Rashi says that's probably what's going to happen.
But this is more than that. This is not just deeper interconnected to Yitzhahara. Over there is chat that the Torah said, since it's going to be Yitzhahara, we'll make a mitzvah. Right? That's not what the Ramban is saying. The Ramban is not saying the mitzvah is to ask. It's not the mitzvah asked that way. It's a remez to the way they're going to ask. But not that the Torah said you have to ask that way because of the Yitzhahara. You don't have to ask that way. But it's a remez to how they are going to ask. You should look at yourself and see. That's what I'm getting from the Ramban. I think that's what he says. It's very hard for me to understand the pshat.
Let's back up for a second. I thought the Kodesh Baruch Hu wasn't happy with us asking for
a king. Oh, so now you're getting back to the point. Yeah. So according to the Ramban and the Rambam, what's the pshat? The whole story of Shmuel HaNavi. Thank you. I had a note to go back to page 3, but I forgot. Thank you. Let's go back to page 3. You saw my notes before? Okay. Ready? It says, page 3. It's the story of Shmuel HaNavi, which kind of throws everything out of whack. Because if it is a mitzvah, like the Ramban and the Rambam do agree that it is, so they have to deal with a very big issue. Is that what did they do wrong in the time of Shmuel HaNavi? And by understanding what they did wrong then, we can understand to a certain degree what is the role of a monarch, of a king in Jewish law and Jewish ideas, and what is his limitation of powers, and how they were focused on how they wanted it to be. And we'll see, whatever they did wrong, we'll know that is not the way they were supposed to appreciate a king. Pasuk says like this, Niskabsu kozikne Yisrael, I'm not going to read the whole entire thing inside. One time, somebody said that if you're giving a shir and you have a lot of Hebrew, read all inside, it's begether verbal abuse. So we're not going to go ahead and do that. I'll tell you outside what he says. So they gathered all the Jewish people together and they said, we want a king. Yeah? Skip to Pasuk Zion. V'yema Hashem el Shmuel. Shmuel says, oh, sorry. Pasuk Vav, it was V'yera hadav v'enei Shmuel. Shmuel was very bothered the fact that he asked for a king. He davened to Hashem for hadrocha, for guidance, what he should do. And Hashem says back to Shmuel, listen to them. So very important words. Hashem says, Shmuel HaNavi, don't get down, don't feel bad. It's not you that they despised, because they despise me for being the king upon them. Very sharp words. But if it's a mitzvah, like the Rambam and the Ramban specify that it is, so why in the world is it that the psukim are so negative about such a thing? They showed, like we asked in the beginning, they should respond it very simply, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, and that's why we're asking for a king. But they don't respond.
You see how they ask, though. You glossed over it, but they ask in a very... reason way.
Okay, let's read it inside. Thank you. No. Your sons are not going in your ways. Put us a king to judge us like the rest of the nations. So these words, like Michael just specified, that they're saying want to be like the other goyim, it could very well be that is the issue. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to describe what is the issue, what was their desire, and what did they want. And Shmuel is very upset about it. Now, there is a Ramban, which... There's a Pasuk. So according to the Ramban, it's not so bad. The reason why the Pasuk is that way is because this is how they ask in the future. So now, an important point is that there is a Ramban, which I didn't bring over here. There's a Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, which I don't have in here. That the Ramban actually says that they were showing they didn't like the Anahag of Shmuel. They really should have waited till Shmuel died. They should have waited till Shmuel was Nifter, and then after Shmuel was Nifter, then they should have appointed a king, nor not to be Pagim in his covet. But they asked when Shmuel was still alive, and that was the reason why they got so punished. Lamayas, the Psukim don't really imply such a thing. Don't seem to imply such a thing. The Ramban obviously knew how to learn Psukim much better than me.
What was their punishment?
Who? They got a whole rebuke against them from Shmuel HaNavi, and Shmuel saw all these terrible things the king's going to do to them. Whatever, it was a very big show of displeasure. What is that?
Was Shmuel a king, or was he just a shaytim?
Good question. So what exactly was the gedder, the shaytim, until now? Is something which hopefully we'll touch upon from the Sephorno. But what exactly was gedder of a shaytim as opposed to a king? And what was their power? We know the Moshe Rabbeinu did have a king, so Yeshua ben Nun did gedder of a king to a certain degree. What exactly was the difference in that and the final malachim that they eventually appointed? Well, maybe you touched on that in the Sephorno, and we can elaborate on it if there is time. Fine. So what was Shmuel so upset about? And why was the Rebbeinu Shalom upset? It wasn't just Shmuel HaNavi, but it was the Rebbeinu Shalom was upset about it. So the Ramban says, because they asked when Shmuel was still alive, and there was a bezoyan to a certain degree to his covet. Now, Kuvit, there's a remiss to this on page 4.
So what kind of Muhammad did Hashem give Shmuel?
Okay. Don't worry, they don't dislike you, they dislike me.
But it's not about you, it's about me.
Right. Huh?
But if the issue was that they didn't wait for his death,
why is it at least
they asked him in front of him that the issue was that then we're rejecting him. No, they should.
Because if you say it's
so, Hashem is giving him. For example, I remember one time.
Hashem is saying Oisim Asu. He's saying that according to that, there's no Oisim Asu.
Right, because they're saying if Hashem is saying it's me that they don't like, what he's really saying is there's something wrong with the leadership here because you're not bringing them to me in the right way. So it's me that they dislike. They recognize your role. They recognize you're a Navi, but there's a disconnect here somewhere.
Okay, fine. You don't like this chat.
No, he's representing me, but I'm not.
Who said it? Didn't he say he was representing you?
Sounds
like a democracy.
Representative government. Okay, well, if we have time, we'll see that on page 4. It seems to be like that Ramban Parash Vechi, but we're not going to say it now. Now, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh deals with this issue. He holds it is a mitzvah, but he also deals with why in the times of Shmuel HaNavi was it such a terrible travesty that they asked for a king. So the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, there are two reasons. You can look at it yourself. It's underlined on Exhibit 9. That the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, there really, in general, there are two reasons to have a king. Number one reason he brings down is that he'll be in charge of the wars and the battles with his great wisdom. His strategy and warrior prowess will give us success in our battles. Zeu davar soni ben Hashem says the Heligor Achayim, that is something that is hated in the eyes of Hashem, because Seder Malchi Uma is the Yochel Behem Achari Kishon Amaisa Chetri Oliyos Achushiyos Gamlu Yimatzei by Davar Toiv Mehamusko, and he says further, Yosim by Kislam Tikvasam in Hashem Yisrael Levavam Lemaisa, they have to rely on what they do, but we rely on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore we don't need to have all these issues and the strategies of a king. That's what kings do. That's not what we do. And the second thing is kavod usif eres, for glory and splendor to clients of such a wonderful king. That's why, and he says even more, he says, in bizchusoy kederech that Hashem should save us in the merit of the king. The king is not there in order to display his great, to be the commander in chief, as it were. Huh?
Exclusively
for a Kadosh
Baruch Hu.
What
is? It's not a Kadosh
Baruch Hu.
Correct.
Baruch
Hu is totally selfless.
Right.
But even if forget selflessness. Even a king, even the commander in chief, could be very selfless. But that's not the reason why we don't have a king. We don't have a king because he'll lead us in war, strategies, and various other things in order to conquer the enemies. But rather, the reason that Rechaim HaKadosh says we want to have a king is not like the kings of the Ummah Ha'ilam. But rather, the reason we want to have a king and we want to have a leader is because he's going to be a big tzaddik, a big Eved Hashem, and he'll be for our covenant, and his chus will be successful in our security. So Orach Chaim HaKadosh explains that when they ask, you look on page 10, in the bracketed part, he says the reason what the problem was in times of Shmuel is like this. And start with the underlined words, Kfi Mashik HaSav, according to what we have written, page 10, according to what we have written, meaning that there are two sibas of having a king, and one of them is hated in the eyes of Hashem, and one is appreciated in the eyes of Hashem. Like Michael Sapazik pointed out, I don't know where he went, but that they said, we want to be a king like the rest of the goyim, not we want to have a king that should be our zchus and be a tzaddik and be our person to look up to and the covenant for the nation. But rather, they ask their king like the rest of the goyim. And what does it mean like the rest of the goyim? They want a good commander-in-chief to fight the battles and be successful. And that was their aveiruk in the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. So according to Orach Chaim, this teaches us a certain way that we look at our monarchy. We don't look at our king as the security of Klal Yisrael, but rather our job is to look at our king is as a role model, let's think of a better word, a
paradigm?
That was what you said?
Yeah.
A conduit? No, I don't know. A paradigm of how a tzaddik is supposed to be that we can look up to and take honor the fact that this is our king. Now, the Drash HaSaran, now, I'm saying this, we're going to see the Drash HaSaran inside, but I think the Drash HaSaran has a very important clue, and it seems like the Aveira, according to Drash HaSaran of Klal Yisrael at that time, was they wanted to make a separation of church and state. And we'll see the Ramban inside. I sound like you already, Rabbi Kessel. They wanted to make a separation of church and state. You see the Ramban, no, it's something you would say, that you see from the Ran over here, that was their veir, and that's what they did wrong. Now, he doesn't use those words exactly, but we'll see that that's what he's implying. Page 11. This was the chet that they did. This is the Josh Haran, Yud Aleph. Is that B'dvar HaMelucha Shishol, he also holds a mitzvah, but what did they do wrong? He says, keep going. Oh, the last line of page 11, the last line of the Ran. About Daiti Shukach, the Ran ventures to explain what is the contradiction over here. Why is with some upset in times of Shmuel? Shemrot Sheikar HaMishpat, they wanted the main Mishpat, meaning of Shabbat Shabbat Om Lachaveri, in the laws that pertain to Om Lachaveri, business laws. And the such, the Nimshach Metzad HaMalchus, that should be decided by the king and not by the Torah HaKadosha.
Wasn't that the role of the
Sanhedrin? Oh, that's what you're saying. The Ran also says this. You're correct. But seemingly, the Ran understands that when they wanted to have a king, they said, the Shafteinu, the language they use is to be Shefet us, to judge us. Meaning they wanted that the laws to run the government, to run the land, rules and regulations of monetary laws and things like this, that should be decided by the king and not by the Torah HaKadosha. You'll see a language also a little bit further down. El Yisrael, not to the last line of page 12, going into page 13. El Yisrael, not to beisahi yoyisel tikkun kibbutzim hamedini. They ended up leaning towards the establishment of a social situation. If they would have just asked for a king, they should have said, Simlon HaMelech, give us a king. That would have been fine. Or if they asked just to be in charge of their army, that would have been fine. There was nothing wrong with that. But since they said, says the Ran, Simlon HaMelech, Shafteinu k'chol ha'goyim, the Shafteinu, that the king should be the judge and one that makes the rules and regulations, Shotsu Shia b'shpateim nimshok ha'mitzad ha'malchus v'mitzad Shafteinu ha'toyim. They wanted that the rules of the land should go according to the king and not according to the Shafteinu ha'toyim, not according to the laws of the Torah HaKadosha. That was the Aveira. When we have a king, our kings are not in charge of making the rules and regulations. Baruch Hashem, we have a Torah Kedosha. The Torah tells us how to lend money, how not to lend money, how to charge ribbis, not charge ribbis, and what not to steal, not to cheat, and all the other things that are the halachas of the land. That is not something decided by the government. That is something decided by the Torah Kedosha and those who are in charge of the Torah to explain the Torah to others and pass in shayles like the Sanhedrin. That is not the place of the king. The Ran is saying the place of the king is purely the security of the nation. Or the parnas of the nation to fight battles and fight wars, depending on what they needed for mechamas rishos, mechamas mitzvah. But that's the role of the king, purely a security / physical material responsibility for Klal Yisrael, as opposed to deciding the laws and the rules of the land. And that, according to the Ran, was what they did wrong. Ki'ilu, a separation of church and state, where when we run our country and the rules and laws, the king should decide, the government should decide, and not the Torah. But we don't believe in such a thing, we believe the opposite. That the Torah Kadosh is in charge and gives the rules and regulations of our country.
You know who fell into this trap? Bar Kokhba. This is the very trap that Bar Kokhba fell into. And that's what caused the period between him and Rebbe and Kiva.
Okay, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to. But Bez Hashem, what's the next legal holiday year?
Coming up,
what? December 25th? Maybe we'll discuss the fall of Bar Kokhba.
This is what it is.
I never heard this before, and I'm sure you have a lot of things to back that up. Givaldic. Okay, page 14. We're going to see a fascinating thing from the Netziv. Page 14, Sefer HaMikdavar, who also ventures to deal with various of these issues. The issue he deals with is, why didn't we establish a kingdom until then, until Shmuel HaNavi, which is something we mentioned at the beginning and we didn't get an answer to yet. And also, why is it dependent upon our asking for the king? Right? Which we didn't see anybody really answer, why it depends our asking for the king. The Ramban says that's a part of the mitzvahs, but the part of the mitzvah, but it's a little hard to understand that. And the Hamak Darvah, the Netziv is going to venture to explain a little bit more in this Indian. Now the Netziv, you could all look at it inside, I'm not going to go say it inside now, but the Netziv says, is that really, it seems to be, if you read it properly, that the Netziv holds that the real proper way is to have a kingdom, to have a king, a monarchy, that is the proper way of government according to the Torah. So why didn't they do it until later? So then Siv says, because running a country, running a medina, a state, is something which has to go along with the ruach of the nation that are being ruled. For example, if America, we're used to our freedom, or whatever, with what we think is our freedom. We're used to this. So therefore, if all of a sudden a king came up and said, now I'm in charge, I make all the rules, and you have whatever, wouldn't be able to accept such a thing. It would never work. It wouldn't stim. It wouldn't match. Therefore, if a nation which is used to their individual freedom, all of a sudden has a king come upon them to tell them what to do, it's not going to work. Not going to work. It'll be a downfall of the society. It'll never work, and it'll be a big waste of time. Because certain people, certain societies like their individual freedom, and some societies are more than willing to give up their individual freedom to have a leader who's going to go and tell them exactly what to do and not to regulate everything and give them what they need. So the Netziv says over here that the reason why it depends upon our requesting of a king is because unless we request a king, if we still want to live in the democracy and freedom and hefkeres that we live in now, and then a king is going to come upon us, it'll never work. And he says that something depends on pikuach nefesh. If a king, if the government takes control, and the government's not accepted by the nation, then the government will be respected, and there'll be lawlessness, and chalila will be murders, and all types of destruction. So therefore, since it's something depends upon pikuach nefesh, something depends upon the security and the lives of the people that are living in that society, the Torah couldn't have said, put a king on yourself. Because if you're not ready to accept a king, it'll be destruction. So therefore the Torah, according to the Netziv, the Shem Yisbarach, when he gave the mitzvah, said it depends on them asking. When they're ready to have a king, then we can have a king. But until they're ready, it's impossible for us to put a king upon them. So therefore, that's why it depends upon ve'omarta. And you'll say, I want a king, because until that moment in time, it's impossible to make a king upon the nation. That's how the Netziv says it. So therefore, that's why they didn't have a king of the first hundreds of years they were in Eretz Yisrael, because they weren't ready for it yet. Kol Hazman, they weren't ready, we couldn't push it on them. Therefore, once they asked, then there was zeich to have the king. That's how the Netziv explains it. So the Netziv says that is the appropriate way to have it, is to have a monarchy. But Mitzad Sheni, it only works if the nation is ready to accept the king. Very important insight from the Netziv. Okay, it's a good question, but remember, the halacha is the king is only there after we settled in Eretz, after we're in Eretz Yisrael already.
Yeah.
It seems like so, the more they got away from that, the more independent they became, and the less receptive they would be of a king.
It's a good point. You could also say the opposite. Oh, I'm sorry, and then it also explains with this a very important thing. When it says, when they say ask for a king like all the rest of the goyim, that doesn't mean a Gnai, they want to be like the goyim. The Jews finally got to the point in time where they realize, they see the nation around them, that their success with the king, they find this out, oh, that's taka what we want, that works. That's what we're looking for. So that's what it means. They finally came, by means of seeing the governments of the Ummah Sa'ilam, the Goyim around them, they finally came to the realization that this could be successful. That we also want such a government. Therefore, what it says, we want a king like the rest of Goyim around us. It wasn't they want to be like the Goyim. They finally came to the intellectual... Rabbi Kassel, you have a good word for this. They finally came to the intellectual
realization
that this is the right way to have a government run. Sorry. He doesn't deal with Shmuel. I don't know. It's a good question. What? Yeah, he didn't specify what was wrong. He's not coming to explain that. I don't know how the Netziv would understand that. Maybe if I thought about it a little bit, I'd come up with something.
So it's a bad thing to come to the realization?
No, it's a good thing. That's finally came to realization, we need a king. We're used to think of as monarchy as things in the past, and democracy is a thing of the future. But the Netziv says the exact opposite. A democracy is a thing of the past. You know, the future is a monarchy. Now we're used to thinking of the opposite way because we're very enlightened people. But halavai, we should be endarkened and realize the truth.
So when we ask for Mashiach,
yeah,
Mashiach is going to be a Melech.
For sure.
That
we ought to accept a king, for sure. Sure. I think, now I'm not a political scientist, said the least, but I believe that if the freedom gets to a point in time where everybody realizes, this to answer your question, Yossi, maybe, is I think when things get so free, eventually realize that this is just not working, we just need to have a king now. But eventually, when you become so independent that the whole life falls apart, you realize, I can't be so independent, I really need a king to be in charge. As my mother used to always say, that in America, our minds are so open that all of our brains fell out. This is the way it works. And things are so free, eventually, huh?
Brilliant.
I'm going to see her today. I'll tell Rabbi Kassel, I think she's a genius. That this is the way that operates. Eventually, you get so independent, so free, they realize freedom really is not the way to go. Now, until now, we dealt with all those opinions that hold that it's a mitzvah to have a king, and the monarchy is the best way to go. Now we're going to see from the Sepharno and then from my back pocket of Barvanel that the Barvanel vehemently disagrees with this, and he's very anti-monarchy and very pro-democracy or republic, as Rabbi Flavin said. So it says in the Heilige Sepharno on page 16, he says there is no mitzvah to make a king. There's no mitzvah at all to have a king. Rather, there's a mitzvah to have a leader. And the Sepharno brings a pasuk in here, which I didn't see this pasuk brought by anywhere else as a source for having a leader. But he says like this: "Woe is the Aveiro Shetiyam Hamalchus Loi Ulazari." What was so bad is that they want to make it a dynastic institution.
What? Dynasty.
Hereditary.
Dynastic.
Hereditary.
Okay, whatever. Hereditary kingship? Fine. Either way, it means they're passing it down from father to son and they would become the next king. The Sepharno holds that is a terrible disaster. It doesn't describe exactly why. What?
Not everybody's right.
Not everybody's right to be the king. Just because you're the son of the king doesn't mean that you could be successful. And even more than that, if the kings become just stay in the family, as time goes on, they take advantage of the people. They don't care about the people anymore because they don't need the people to elect them. So therefore, they're not good as them. They don't care about them. It turns into a feudal society like it did in Poland and in England and all the other places where the people are just more nothing more than serfs serving the people in charge. It's world history, 11th grade. So now, if that happens, it's a terrible disaster. However, if the kings, not the kings, but a shefet, the leaders, if the leaders are rather elected or appointed from time to time, where it wasn't hereditary, king, what was the word? No, hereditary kingship.
Monarchy.
If it wasn't that, they would keep everybody in check to make sure they behave properly and dealt with the people in a way that was successful for the two partners to get together. Not just in the person, not just the family of the king, but the person in charge plus the people that he's in charge of.
The king worked with the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin was there. You also had a Navi, so how would it be only king?
Okay, good. So that's depend upon that the king cares about what the Navi has to say. But as time goes on, you see the Malchi Yisrael and the Malchi Yehuda were successful in their lives.
Yeah.
Huh?
Eliyahu
wasn't so successful in his teichah that he gave to the king, meaning there are kings that were very corrupt, all the generations. He just had David Malach and Shlomo Malach, and after that it was a big downfall. All the Malchi Yisrael came out, every single one of them was Na'ivet Avei Dezara. They had Nevi'im, they had Sanhedrin, but Lamaisa, it was a total disaster. As they say, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely.
Which people think that is, Spock said that, but it's not true. It was actually said way before Leonard Nimoy was even born. So, it should be a leader, but it shouldn't be...
Machiavelli said this?
Yeah,
no, it was Lord Acheron.
Lord who?
Lord Acheron.
That's not the way Machiavelli said.
What? Hereditary? She said that's not the way it's supposed to be. That was an Aveirov that they asked for it that way. He says here that the Shevet should be in this way. And that is the mitzvah to make a king in such a manner where it's not hereditary, but rather he just becomes the leader because of his virtue or because of an election of some sort. That's the pasuk loisya adas Hashem katzayin shein lehem roya. That's the Bishop Ben Davin that the congregation of Hashem should not be like sheep without a person in charge of them.
It doesn't say that in Shmuel. That was the problem.
No, but that's the pshat when it says kuchol hagoyim. I mean, that's when they asked him to Shmuel, wanted to be like the goyim. And man, they had a shefet until now. They had leaders. They had Yeshua. They had Moshe Rabbeinu, Shmuel Hanavi. They had Boaz and all the other.
Why did they say your children aren't rolling? So what we want to do is we want to set up a practice where the davka, the children are going
to
take.
That's according to the Sefer. That's exactly what it means. That's what the pasuk means when they said kuchol hagoyim. So if the goyim have a hereditary, so do we also want to have a hereditary. That's that was for understanding. So now, according to the Sepharno, the ideal type of leader is a leader that is either elected or appointed, but not hereditary as giving it down like a standard monarchy is. How he agrees that it has to be a leader, a single individual who's the leader, but rather he disagrees in the fact that it's hereditary and goes down from generation to generation for many of the chashashas that we discussed. They become very corrupt and they become concerned about themselves, don't care about the nation, etc., etc. Now, So until now we have one end is the Rambam, the Ramban, that the mitzvah is to have a king, and that's the best way to deal with it. To have a king, that should be in charge of the government. The Ran puts in a certain position where, of course, the Rambam, they all agree, he's not in charge of making the rules or regulations. That we have the Torah Kadesh for. But his place is either, like the Orachayim Kadesh says, the great honor and his chus will be saved, or it's because to have the battles and the wars. But more than that, that's not the place of the king. That's based on Hedrin, the Shaftim, etc. The Sephora says there is no mitzvah, but there is a mitzvah to appoint a leader. A leader there should be in order for the success of the nation. Now, the Sephora, the Abarbanel, has a very, very different way of looking at this whole thing. The Abarbanel vehemently argues with this and holds there's no such thing to have even a single leader at all. Rather, we should have what the way the Abarbanel describes it. I can show it to you inside, it's very long, but he seems to describe it as a republic, but even more so, more like a parliament, that there should be, or like a congress, there should be a group of people who should be in charge of Klal Yisrael, and all the things of the, it should go to vote, they should vote on them, and that's they should decide how to act and what to do. That avad, of course, not against the Torah Kadesha, but the general Haga of the nation, which goes beyond the clear laws of the Torah.
Sort of like what Moshe Rabbeinu did, and appointed.
But that wasn't the government. That was for the Psak Halacha.
That was for teaching.
That was for Halacha.
We're saying no.
This is the leadership of the people. The king. Instead of being a king, it'll be a parliament. The king who charges the wars and in charge of whatever the king was in charge of, that would be done by a parliament, a group of individuals, as opposed to a single person.
Have we ever seen that in our history?
What is that? Well, they already messed up in the time of Shmuel and Navi. I'm saying it happened already from the beginning.
We have to see what happens in the future.
1 second. So now we'll explain to you what the Abarbanel says, where he's coming from, and how he's marviach to answer all these questions. So far, we didn't see really somebody answer all the questions. The Abarbanel mamash is a clear malach. It's mamash haflu fella how he deals with these issues. Now, he starts off in a very philosophical manner. The Abarbanel writes that he wants to deal on three issues. We'll say it quickly. And it's pages and pages and pages. Kedarka B'Kedish, he wrote very, very long. That he says, he wants to deal with three issues. Number one issue is there a need to have a king at all? Anywhere in the entire universe? Is there a need to have a king? Number two, if yes, then does Klaus have to have a king? And if the answer is no, so what is the mitzvah of having a king? Those are the three steps that he delineates how he's going to go ahead and describe his drush as he does. Number one is, what is the definition of a king? A king, the monarchy that we're thinking, what is the definition? So he says there are three general definite parts of it. There's only one king, there can't be two kings, only one king. Number two, that it's there, it's hereditary, or it's a dynasty, and it goes down from generation to generation. And number three, he has full power to do whatever it is that he wants to do. The Abarbanel says that is the three aspects of what a king is. If you understand Malachim in the world and in general society, those are the three things that the king has. Number one, there's only one of them. Number two, he's there forever, it's hereditary. And number three is that he has full, absolute power. What is that? Sorry. Oh no, sorry, what is this? Shinasa Malenu Melech. Okay, whatever, I don't think about it. Fine, I'll talk about this a different time. It's Eves. So now, huh?
It's a whole different
shir. That could be the next one after Bar Kochma.
It'll be after Mother's Day.
We'll deal with that issue on Mother's Day. Now, the Abarbanel says that this is a terrible thing to have a kingship in this way. Even by the Goyim, it's a terrible thing. Now, the Abarbanel could really talk from
experience. Yeah.
Because the Abarbanel was a person very close to many governments. He was first the economic advisor in Portugal, and they got kicked out of Portugal. And he went to Spain, and got kicked out of Spain. Then he went to Italy, and got kicked out of Italy. And in each place, he was the economic advisor.
He was giving lousy advice.
They kept on hiring them, though, whatever it is. So the Abarbanel is a very successful individual who, chutz from being a government official, he was obviously a massive Talmud Chacham, and wrote many, many svarim, Befratis Pirushim and Tanakh. And he says that he brings from throughout history all the time the kingship and that side of the monarchy always was ripped off the country, always became very corrupt and did terrible, terrible things. So the Abarbanel says, Metzad HaSeichel, is that these three things are necessary to have. You can imagine a group of people that are elected. He calls them elected officials. They can be there for 1 year or 3 years. And that's how you should run a government. This is even further. Is that once you have it, that's not hereditary, and they're not there forever, there's checks and balances. A guy would be afraid to mess up, because if he does something terrible, he takes advantage of people. 3 years later, he's going to end up in jail, like many of them do. So that's why there's an advantage of elected officials, as to not give them immunity forever and ever. And that's what Rabbi says, that's the best ideal form of government. And he says, if you're not going to believe me, because I'm saying it from Mitzada Higoyin, inside of logic, he said, Nisoyin, the experience proves that it's true, that that power corrupts, as with power corrupts, absolutely, and it's not a successful way of governing. Now,
do you have any proof that his system worked? Did anybody ever have that?
He's bringing from the Greek city-states. Aristo Vechaverov. That's where he's bringing from. He says they're successful. Yeah, these are very successful in their mahalach. That's the Rabbi Benel sense. Now, he says even further. 1 second. So the Rabbi Benel continues. He says, good. So now, even if you would say that I'm wrong, says the Rabbi Benel, even if you would say that I'm wrong, that this is not appropriate of running a government, for sure, for us, the Jewish people, it for sure is. Even if by the goyim it's not right, for us it for sure is right. Why? Because there are three general things a king must do, says the Rabbi Benel. Number one, lasois melchomois, to make battles and wars. The Rabbi Benel says, for us, we don't need a king who has absolute power and person that gives from generation to generation, because we had shaved them all the generations. We went to wars, we had battles, we had things, we were successful. So we don't need a king to do that. Number one, we have shaved them that did that for all the generations. Number two, we have emun and Hashem, that Hashem will protect us. We don't need to go to West Point. We don't need people to go to West Point in order to go ahead and lead our battles. We need to have intelligence and have bitachon b'Hashem. But the Shaifim did all generations. Number two, we need a king for it to have absolute power, because he's going to tell you how to act. The rules and regulations, write a constitution to have your proper laws. And after all the law books, and there's a rule for it. Whatever, I forgot the word is. Whatever it is, he says, we don't need that, because we have the Torah, Deisha. We have the Torah to tell us what to do. And number three, sometimes a king has to go beyond the letter of the law in order to punish people, when it's necessary. He has to, like, sometimes you have to make raids on Arab villages, whatever, in order to make sure they don't go and cause you problems. You have to do what's called preemptive strikes, or whatever it might be. He says, we don't need all these type of things. Or let's say, like we find in the Gemaras, the Elio Navi brought Karbonis in Har Carmel, which was Shalei Kedin. So he says, you don't need a king to have absolute power to do that, because the Torah Kedosh already gave the rights for the Gedolei HaTzadikim of the dim generations, and like Shimon and Shetach, and all these people that did things beyond the letter of the law, beyond what was actually permitted, in order to be in order to protect the Shemir HaTorah HaMitzvahs. So you don't need a king for that. The Shaitim, all the Rabbanim, the Tzadikim, all of our generations had that power. So even if you're going to say for the Goyim, it is a good mahalach to have a monarchy, which we say it's not, but even if it is, for us it's unnecessary. That's what the Rabbi Benel says. He says even further, he says, therefore now we can understand what the whole entire punishment was, and the punishment was for what they asked in the times of Shmuel HaNavi. Number one, we said, if it's a mitzvah to have a king, so why does it depend upon us asking for a king? So then he says simply, the reason why it depends on asking for a king is because it's not a mitzvah. Since it's not a mitzvah, the Torah is just saying, because rise like Eishes Yivas Toyar, is also, for example, there's a mitzvah to do tshuva, but there's no mitzvah to do an aveir in order to go ahead and do tshuva. If you do an aveiro, you have to do tshuva. If you have a cheshek for Eish Shivas Toyar, so good, you can have Eish Shivas Toyar. But that, there's a mitzvah to have the cheshek. If you don't have the cheshek, matov manoy. So it says, the Rabbi Benel, the same thing over here. If you want to have a king, Hashem says, this is the way to do it. This is how to do it. But now there's a mitzvah all to have a king. Faket, it's an aveir to ask for a king. But since, lo dibetor agnei tzahara, since they're going to do it, Hashem says, fine, this is the way to do it. So therefore, your marviach, why it is that there's a question, meikar. Number two is, the Rabbi Benel says, he's a better pshat than the Ramban. The Ramban's a chadish, it's a mitzvah also to ask. The Rabbi says, no, what kind of mitzvah is that? The mitzvah to ask about tefillin? There's a mitzvah to ask about anything else? The Rabbi says, no, there's no mitzvah at all, it's not a mitzvah, and therefore it's marviach, that pshat in the pasuk. Number two, the Rabbi Benel says, why is then the pasuk, if it is a mitzvah, why is it kechol hagoyimish sviv asai? I want to be like the goyim around me. The Rabbi Benel says, Pasha, it's not a mitzvah, and therefore they're asking to be like the goyim attack is never, it's a terrible thing. Number three, is that why is it they waited so long to ask for it? Answer again, Pasha, because there is no mitzvah. And it was only afterwards that they finally decided they would want to go ahead and have a king like the goyim that's around them. And also, why didn't they respond to Shmuel HaNavi when he said, why asking for a king, it's a terrible thing. Why didn't they respond to him, Pashat? Because it's a mitzvah? Because it's not. So if you learn that it's not a mitzvah at all to have a king, all the psukim mamish are miyushiv mamish perfectly. So the Rabbi Benel is very confident in his pshat, says it's davar Pashat that he has the right pshat. Therefore, After the Barbanel, you can see it inside. After the Barbanel and how he is his mahalach and how to work the whole thing out, we have mamish akatz al akatz. You have the Rambam on one side that it's a mitzvah and the best for a government is to have a king, a monarch. And you have on the other side the Barbanel who learns on the Pesukim and says, fakir, the exact opposite, the worst thing in the world is to have a monarch, and what the Torah really wants from us is to have a republic and a successful way of government like a democracy. So it comes out, G'dayla Eilam, all the way from way back, even the Zvan Rishonim already, from one end of the world to the other. So what is the answer to the question? Does Torah believe in democracy? All depends on who you ask. As usually, if you ever, usually the answer always is, it's a machlekes. And it is. So Bez Hashem, whatever that real form of government is supposed to be, when Mashiach comes, he'll make it happen. I wish you a zaycha to hear what the answer is. B'karev b'yameinu.